Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You know, North Korea remains one of the most enigmatic countries in the world, with little known about its society and its people beyond the nuclear ambitions of its leadership and the country's isolationism. That's made it challenging for outsiders to gain insight into the daily life there. However, the few revealing photographs captured by visitors to the country provide a glimpse into a society that is vastly different from the carefully constructed image projected by its leadership. The reality of life for its citizens is poverty, decay, and a lack of basic amenities. As we consider these things, we're reminded of the importance of transparency and the power of images to convey the truth about the world. We must remember the dangers of government that seeks to control information and isolate its citizens from the rest of the world. Korea's a challenge. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. I'm waiting for a mushroom update, Skip. What's going on?
Oh, Colonel, it's starting slow. You know, up here in Michigan, in the great white north woods, sometimes spring happens like on a Thursday. and then it goes right from winter to summer. That's just the way it is sometimes. And up here now, it's like raining, and then it's snowing, and then it's raining, and then it's snowing. And I think the mushrooms are confused. They just don't know what to do. So they're starting slow, but I'm hopeful for this next week, Colonel.
Okay, I'll be holding you accountable for that, Sergeant. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the major grab for power the UN is about to make. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, General Michael Flynn will join us to discuss some of our nation's major problems. Then we'll discuss April, the month of the military child, with Robert Thomas. And Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will discuss the movie of the month, of course. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on the Front Lines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
In January, Air Force Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Brandy King, who is allergic to the COVID-19 vaccine, received a letter of reprimand from her superiors instead of a medical exemption that should have been provided. She filed a medical exemption request from the vaccine mandate after she was denied a religious exemption. And despite her medical exemption being legitimate, King was fired from her position as a diversity officer. One less diversity officer might be a good thing, many would argue, but the idea that members of our military still being fired for refusing to take a vaccine that is bad for them is outrageous. King tested positive for an allergy to an ingredient used in the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. After being tested by an allergist, it was recommended that she be exempted from the vaccine mandate because of the potential for a significant allergic reaction. Even the CDC agrees that people allergic to polysorbate should not receive that vaccine. And King has tested positive for COVID antibodies, meaning she had previously been infected by the virus and recovered, meaning she is just as immune, if not more immune to the virus, than people who have taken the COVID vaccine.
And we wonder why so few people are willing to join our military. What is our military doing to punish commanders who are behaving so unprofessionally? And what are they doing to restore the military records of military folks who have been so abused by incompetent commanders? This is crazy.
And earlier this month, the FBI announced that it had arrested two New York residents for running a Chinese government police station in secret, thus presenting a major national security threat. Liu Wanwang and Chen Jingping were operating out of the Chinatown neighborhood of Manhattan. The U.S. Attorney's Office is charging them with conspiring to act as agents on behalf of the Chinese government. U.S. Attorney Breon Peace said that the Chinese Ministry of Public Security has repeatedly and flagrantly violated our nation's sovereignty, including by opening and operating a police station in New York City. Both men were arrested in their homes. The pair, both of whom are U.S. citizens, are set to appear in court.
We've known about that Chinese police office, as we've discussed it on this show several times. The Chinese have those offices all over the world. Why is the FBI just now taking action? And do note that the accused men were arrested in their homes by the FBI, but not by breaking down the house door in the middle of the night, as the FBI has done with men who did a peaceful protest in front of an abortion clinic, as we've discussed on the show. We need a functioning national police force.
And a massive explosion rocked the Russian border city of Belgorod a bit over a week ago. It's an area that has faced repeated bombings that the Russians have blamed on Ukrainian UAV activity. But what happened was far more than a UAV bombing. This was something bigger. According to reports, there was a blast that made nearby apartment buildings tremble and threw a car onto a store roof. The bombing left a 66-foot-wide crater in the middle of the street. Everyone wondered what Ukraine hit them with. Well, it wasn't Ukraine. The Russian military has admitted that one of their own bombers accidentally dropped the bomb.
Wow. The Russian military admits it when they make a dumb mistake. I wonder when our military will admit it when this stupid abandonment of Afghanistan. You know, truthfully, the Russian military isn't that good, and it does make mistakes like this one. So this probably really did happen.
Lawmakers had many unanswered questions after briefings from administration officials last week about an airman's alleged leak of reams of classified documents. They say one thing is clear. The system for deciding what information is classified and who has access to it is broken. For years, lawmakers have expressed concern both that too much information is shielded from public scrutiny using classification labels and that the process for protecting government secrets is vulnerable to mishandling. Bipartisan interest in reforms had already been accelerating in recent months following the discovery of classified information in the homes and private offices of former President Trump, President Biden, and former Vice President Pence. Now, lawmakers say the arrest of 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira for posting scores of top-secret documents to an online chat forum underscores their warnings. However, specific ideas for exactly how to fix classification and security clearance processes are rare, with elected officials saying proposals would depend on the findings from investigations into the Guardsman's alleged leak.
It is very true that many items are classified for no obvious reason. I've seen things classified that are not sensitive and are publicly known. I hope this congressional effort does produce a system that will cause regular review of classified items. Here's hoping.
And thousands of mental health calls to the Atlanta VA have gone unanswered over the past year, according to a recent whistleblower. The complaint alleges that out of roughly 22,000 mental health calls made to the Atlanta VA healthcare system over a 12-month period ending in January, about 7,200 went unanswered. The reason is that the VA's Human Resources Department is slow in hiring applicants who can answer the phones. Quote, "The health and well-being of veterans is our number one priority," said Gregory Kendall, a spokesman with the Atlanta VA. "We are actively investigating these reports to ensure that veterans who call the Atlanta VA healthcare system get the timely responses and care they deserve."
Well, we sure don't want an unqualified person answering a mental health hotline. But the way our government is throwing money around, including to Ukraine, you'd think we could find the resources to fix this problem. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in help getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Coming up, I'll share some comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll discuss our nation's crises with General Michael Flynn. At ease, troops, take a break.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Women should never walk alone in parks, parking garages, or other secluded areas. Rapists, murderers, and robbers look for the lone walker as it enhances their chance of success. Serial rapists need only one woman and will let two women pass on by. So bring a friend along for your walk. And don't forget to stay alert as you walk. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Our nation and our Constitution is under attack from a number of directions. One of these attacks comes from the United Nations, an organization we played a big part in creating, and we host its headquarters. Further, we are its major source of funds. Each member nation, there's something just under 200 of them, is to declare its financial status and pay a portion of that finance to the UN. Virtually all of them proclaim small amounts and pay as little as possible. Our nation provides about 23% of the UN's annual budget. Somehow, China, Russia, India, Saudi Arabia also pay only a tiny percentage of what we do. Oh, and the UN very often votes against issues we support. Even nations who receive significant foreign aid from us often vote against us in things we advocate in the UN. And now, the UN is seeking vast new powers for use in the case of global emergencies. It's important to note that the UN would, thus, be able to define what situation is a global emergency and what power it has over the member states, including the United States, to solve the emergency. Thus, we would lose at least some of our ability to govern ourselves anytime the UN declares a crisis. So what's going on? Well, the UN wants vast new powers and stronger global governance tools to deal with the international emergencies, such as pandemics and economic crises, and the Biden administration appears to support this. The plan to create an emergency platform, which would involve a set of protocols activated during a crisis that could affect billions of people, has drawn a lot of concern about what that could lead to. Those concerned, thankfully, do include members of our Congress. Certainly, we must be sure that any protocol or platform operated by the UN respects our nation's national sovereignty, not to mention our taxpayers' dollars. Further, climate change is seen as a big deal by the UN leaders and is very, very likely to be declared a world crisis. Indeed, UN documents and statements released last month by key leaders make it clear that climate change is a major piece of the UN emergencies agenda. As we discussed on this show 2 weeks ago, when we talked with Greg Whitestone from the CO2 Coalition, science does not support the idea of climate change being a crisis. Climate has always been changing, and the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere has virtually zero impact. Yet, for some, climate change crisis is a religion, and they won't give up on it. Does anyone think that China, Russia, India, or any other major nation outside of Western Europe and North America has ever paid attention to climate change or made any changes in their manufacturing or economies? They haven't. We don't need to be drugged into more of that nonsense. Other critics of this expansion of power for the UN are concerned about the influence of the Chinese Communist Party within the UN. This, given the UN's well-documented corruption problems and its horrible track record of dealing with previous emergencies. As one former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State put it, quote, allowing the UN to deal with this is the equivalent of putting the Chinese government in charge of global emergencies, end quote. And do remember that the COVID-19 disease was created in China and deliberately allowed to spread across the world. In a public brief dubbed Our Common Agenda, headlined Strengthening the International Response to Complex Shocks, an Emergency Platform, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres laid out his vision for empowering the UN to deal with global crises. Quote, "The changes we face can only be addressed through stronger international cooperation," he declared, calling for strengthening global governance for current and future generations. UN leaders are building their plans for a summit of the future to be held during the General Assembly's annual high-level meeting in September. If this gets a green light from member states, the global emergency protocols would be triggered automatically in the case of a global crisis, regardless of the type or nature of the crisis involved, said the UN chief. The UN proposal was unveiled as multi-billionaire Bill Gates, one of the most prominent voices during the COVID crisis and a major financier of the World Health Organization and vaccines, who wants a global fire department to address international health emergencies. Oh, have you noticed that the world's one big and growing health crisis is the medical damage done by the COVID vaccines? Those numbers are big and growing across the world, but of course the media doesn't cover that. One investigative journalist ridiculed the World Health Organization implication that Africans suffered from not receiving enough COVID vaccines from the West, when in reality, 16 times as many deaths per capita were attributed to COVID in North and South America and Europe when compared to Africa. Peter Gallo, an international lawyer, former UN internal investigator turned whistleblower, noted the UN's long history of corruption, politicization, and scandal, including cases in which humanitarian aid was diverted or even weaponized for political purposes, which also permitted the, quote, "sexual exploitation and human trafficking of victims of such disasters," end quote. And it's no better now than it has been in the past. It's pretty clear, isn't it, that centralized control performs much worse than individualized and creative health treatments? We don't know how UN leaders will define the words in the document or what powers they'll give themselves. And we certainly don't want the UN or any other organization be able in any way to take control of any part or aspect of our nation, and that includes taking control of our military. So we, the people, need to defend our constitutional republic and our freedoms and push back against the relentless push for centralized bureaucratic control that the globalists offer as the solution to the world's problems. We need to stand up and speak up in support of the individual freedoms and national sovereignty that we vets have been willing to put our lives on the line to defend. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby now. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, last week we saw SpaceX attempt the first launch of its Starship vehicle into suborbital flight. Unfortunately, that attempt ended in an explosion. The SpaceX Starship is the world's heaviest rocket, standing at 400 feet tall with the ability to carry 150 tons to orbit. Last week's first attempt was to fly to a suborbital altitude of 235 kilometers, or about 145 miles above Earth. 4 minutes into the flight, several of its engines failed, and it began tumbling in the air. The FAA reported that Starship's automated flight termination system, which is designed to disable a rocket that malfunctions in flight, activated and destroyed the launch vehicle. Now, despite this failure, Space Force is still hopeful about the rocket's future and even what this latest flight test means for the entire launch industry. When innovators like SpaceX, which is owned by billionaire Elon Musk, attempt groundbreaking technological advances, even an unsuccessful test is a chance to learn. Colonel Jim Horn, the Deputy Director of Operations for the Space Force's Assured Access to Space Directorate, said, quote, "I think that's one of my favorite things that companies like SpaceX have done. It's to teach us we need to learn from our mistakes and not fear them. Take acceptable risk, learn from it, and move on. They've proven that you can accelerate innovation," unquote. In 2020, U.S. Transportation Command signed a cooperative research and development agreement with the company to gain insight into the rocket's development. 2 years later, the Air Force Research Laboratory awarded SpaceX more than $100 million to provide flight data from the Starship launch attempts. That data is being used by the Air Force to study the feasibility of using rockets to carry personnel and cargo around the globe. It's unclear whether this latest unsuccessful attempt will impact the Space Force's goal to operationalize cargo from rockets by 2026. That will likely depend on the cause of the failure and how quickly SpaceX can address the issue. SpaceX does have two more Starships on hand, so they're ready to clear the pad and get ready to go again. For Frontline to Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontline to Freedom, we'll talk with General Michael Flynn. Then we'll talk about April being the month of the military child with Robert Thomas. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break and do another 50, then stand at ease.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Well, it's an honor to welcome back to the show General Michael Flynn. General Flynn had a very distinguished career while on active duty. He was President Trump's first national security advisor and the first senior person, besides President Trump, to be falsely, maliciously attacked by our politically weaponized Justice Department. He had to step down, but his high values and love of our nation has kept him serving our nation. So welcome back to the show, General. Glad to have you.
It's great to be back, Danny. How you doing?
Awesome. Life is good, even though America's a little goofy right now.
Goofy is the understatement of the year, Danny. Well, that might be one of those quotable quotes that needs to be captured for all time.
Yes, sir. General, start by giving us a quick review of your time in uniform.
Oh, my God, Danny. Well, a little over 33 years, almost 33 and a half years. Started out in the 82nd Airborne Division. Spent more than half of my career at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I served there from second lieutenant to brigadier general, all ranks. My time away was either training, you know, at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, the home of the intelligence, right? Or beautiful places like Fort Polk, Louisiana. I call it Snake Central, Alligator Alley. It's got its own Alligator Alley there.
Yes, sir, it does.
And I spent 5 years, pretty much 5 years in overseas in combat operations in different places, principally Iraq and Afghanistan, but other places in my career. Loved every minute of it. I went to Washington, D.C. very late in my career as a two-star. Never served in Washington until I was a two-star. And I served in three roles, head intelligence officer for the Pentagon underneath the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and then assistant director of national intelligence, and then And then I spent 2 years at running the Defense Intelligence Agency, the highest serving military intelligence officer in the country at the time, and serving as the head of one of the largest intel agencies, not just in the United States, but in the world. And I loved every minute of it, Denny. I would go serve again. The best people that I've ever run into are the troops, you know, men and women who serve in uniform, especially the sergeants. You know, the sergeants are great. It's the best rank anywhere in the service, you know, a sergeant, you know, those are the ones, that's where the proverbial rubber meets the road, right?
It sure is. And that is where the Army is. And as long as we officers remember that that's where the rubber meets the road, things work well.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd like us to talk about today is something that really bothers me. My uncle spent a full career in the FBI, and I grew up mm-hmm. loving and respecting him. But our Department of Justice and the FBI, in my opinion, in the last two or more years, more than two, has been weaponized. It sort of marks our country as a third world dictatorship. I mean, I've read about people who protested at a an abortion center peacefully. The FBI beating on their door in the middle of the night and breaking the door down and arresting them. I mean, what we're seeing, if it keeps going, is typical third world stuff. And this isn't the nation that I fought to defend. And you had to live with it a little more. Talk a little bit about what our nation is becoming, because if we don't wake up to it and stop it, we're going to lose our wonderful nation, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, God, Denny, and for your audience, you know, it's like, you know, where do you begin? It's not the last two or three years, Denny. This doesn't happen that quickly. There is a culture, a pervasive culture inside of not just the Department of Justice and the FBI, but other elements within our federal government, you know, the agencies, commissions, activities, departments. You know, the FBI, you know, they've used their power to not just, you know, help win elections, right? But to also create what I would call a vast surveillance state in conjunction with these social media companies. I mean, look at what we're learning with the Twitter files, right? The censorship state, the guy that testified in front of Congress, his name is Michael Schellenberger, was one of the journalists that got access to the Twitter files. And what we've seen is this conspiracy between principally the FBI and the big tech social media companies to shut down the First Amendment rights of Americans who dared to question Biden's policies. I mean, I'm not making this up. You just go listen to the testimony by Michael Schellenberger, and I think it was in front of either the Judiciary or the Weaponization Subcommittee. You know, I mean, the FBI has also declared that pro-life activists and pro-family leaders and parents and all sorts of just basically average patriotic Americans, we are the terrorists, right? While ignoring the real terror threats posed by organizations like Antifa and, frankly, radical Islamic extremist groups within our borders, within our contiguous domestic borders, and other threats that do exist, both on the far left and certainly even on the far right. But they've placed regular Americans in their crosshairs, and they're trying to scare the bejesus out of everybody, out of grandmothers who went up to Washington, D.C. to watch a president give a speech. And now they have them knocking on their doors in states like Florida, Texas, and other places. So when it comes to the average American, the FBI is they are brutally efficient, right? Sending SWAT teams in the dead of the night to raid the homes of harmless people like my friend Roger Stone and pastors who dared to protest at an abortion clinic. Those are not fake, made up conspiracy theories, my friend. They are real things that happened. And they were done on one case done to put fear into the average American. In the other case, they were done based on a complete and total lie. And that's the raid of my friend Roger Stone's house. So anyway, I mean, they have a massive problem. They have there's a bunch of whistleblowers that have come forward. And in our Constitution, there was nothing that was ever said about the FBI. There's no constitutional edict to have an FBI. And I think that there has to be a reality check by any of the political people that are thinking about, you know, running this country. Of course, if you're on the left, you love the FBI because they're helping you. But if you're a conservative, even the middle of the road, even if what I would call the Kennedy Democrat, and obviously we have a new Kennedy running for president now. But if you're in that middle of the road American citizen who just cares about the country, you know, you don't want the federal government, you know, interceding in your life, and you're a rule of law abiding citizen, you know, the FBI is not your friend. It's sad. It's actually sad that it's come to that.
Yes, sir. That is true. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Michael Flynn. Yes, sir. Most Americans, and I think most people in the world, just want to be left alone by their government. But there are some who want to use the government to force us into their bag. And that's crazy, but it's our country. And we have to take care of it. And I'm not talking about getting violent in any way. I am talking about knowing who your congressmen and U.S. senators are, and state and local too, and talking to them and asking them where they stand on things and holding them accountable. That's in a constitutional republic that we live in. It's our responsibility to do that, isn't it, General?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, we have to face it. And I think that your audience, Denny, is mostly veterans, or certainly, you probably have a big chunk of veterans out there. You know, we're not, no one is suggesting that we resort to anything crazy. What we have to resort to is getting involved and getting involved in our local communities. I use this phrase, local action has a national impact, or local action equals a national impact. And I do think that we can take over counties. We can take over school boards. We can take over county commissioners. We can take over election commission boards and seats. And those are the places where I think a lot of veterans can actually do greater service and, you know, and do service again. Right. And commit to doing something more for the country and or going out and finding leaders who are willing to step up and do those kinds of things. You know, we don't have that many counties in this country. And frankly, a majority, I think, well, I think close to 2,500, Denny, are generally conservative, middle of the road, patriotic counties. But you're going to have the big counties, you know, the ones that have a lot of population, like around Atlanta, Maricopa County. Right. You know, the different counties around the big cities where there's still. Those are where we've saw the corruption in 2020. There's solutions out of this, but the biggest component of those solutions is people, civic involvement, civic action, right? And if people are going to be apathetic and lazy, then obviously we're going to have the country that you get, right? We're going to have this country that's going to basically turn into a communist Marxist country. And that's the direction that we're heading.
Yes, sir. I wish you were wrong, but I could not agree more. And getting active is the answer. There's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and General Flynn's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yep, yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, some days. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're continuing our conversation with General Michael Flynn about our nation's challenges. Change directions a little bit, General. Let's talk a little bit about Ukraine. Who cannot feel a sympathy for wanting to support Ukraine, helping them against what Russia's doing to them? But on the other hand, our nation's broke. Our military supplies are being worn out. We have Russia and China threatening us. We can only do so much for Ukraine. Is that a fair statement?
You know, Denny, I'd say it's fair, but that's not my mindset right now. I think we have such severe problems in this country. And I'll just rattle off a couple because another piece of information came out today about this global alliance. You know, the U.S. dollar is not the right now. It just fell today. This new alliance between Russia and China, they are now trading not using U.S. dollars as the currency of choice. So we're now number two in that realm, in that particular area. And that's a big deal. It's a huge, huge deal. So let me take it down a different path, and I'll do it as quickly as I can because of time. There is definitely. Number one, America is at a major crossroads. There is a new global alliance that is forming against the United States of America. And I could rattle off all the countries, but they pretty much represent about 75% of the world's population is now starting to take shape and form an alliance against the United States of America. There is war in Europe. We have the war that you just mentioned, Ukraine and Russia. You know, we're talking about the use of nuclear weapons. It's crazy. We have an emerging war in China. you know, with the whole advent of Taiwan. I mean, China, on a, almost a daily basis through air and sea locks, lines of communication, they encircled Taiwan. We have an invasion of the southern border. We can't find 85,000 children in our own, in our domestic landscape that the Homeland, Department of Homeland Security has lost 85,000 children. And this invasion of the southern border, we're now looking at Chinese military age men to the tune of about somewhere between 1,000 and 5,000 a day is what I'm told. We have, you know, you've reported on this already a while back, but I want to remind people we retreated from Afghanistan. We lost some great, a lot of great people, a lot of great soldiers, but particularly on that tragic day where we had the, you know, had the suicide attack at the gate at the Kabul International Airport of 13, you know, killed in action and many others wounded terribly. We have rising crime in our streets. We got record inflation. We got children being abused by the public education system. We have the recent revelations of the former CIA director Mike Morrell and his 51 former intel officials, lying scumbags who need to feel, they really need to feel what talk about the FBI, what an FBI pre-dawn raid feels like. We have an election system, Denny, that's totally broken. And we have a complete loss of trust between the government and, frankly, all politicians. There's probably one or two out there that maybe their locals trust them, but people don't trust our federal government. So where does that put us? So that puts us at this divorce, and this divorce is between, constitutionally, it's between the federal government and what I would call states' rights. Anybody that's ever read our Federalist Papers and the foundation of our country, governors were given states' rights. And I think the governors, Republican governors, and I think we have 26, don't hold me to that number, but it's around 26 Republican governors. That none of them, talk about lack of, you know what, and guts. I'll just use the word guts. They have lack of guts to stand up and push back against this overreaching federal bureaucracy and federal government. I mean, until governors stand up for the country and recognize that we are going down a path towards Marxism here, hardcore Marxism, not just communism, but we got hardcore Marxists that are controlling levers of power in our country. And I'll, you know, and I could go on and on about all of this, but it's just, this is well beyond just this, the $100 billion that we spent over in Ukraine, right? 100 and so more than that, but I'll just keep a round figure, you know, and to what end, Denny? There's no objectives. The White House has stated zero objectives as to what it is. There's no vital national security interests. And as long as we have these never-ending wars, the military-industrial complex, the security state complex, they continue to benefit, and the money flows into the pockets of people, you know, that live and breathe in Washington D.C. or, frankly, who are these some of these corrupt people and corporations that operate overseas. I mean, Denny, and I'll shut up after this. We spent more money in Afghanistan. Okay, we spent more money in Afghanistan, and we retreated from Afghanistan under fire, left American citizens behind enemy lines, than we spent on the Marshall Plan to reconstruct Europe after World War II. Okay, we spent more money in Afghanistan than we spent paying to reconstruct all of Europe after World War II in modern dollars. Okay, that's insane, and I want people to let that sink in for a second, because we're in a difficult spot. Can't kid ourselves about it. We've got to get, I want people to get involved at the local level, right? Local action. I don't care what you do, find a new purpose in life. But if it's not that purpose for, especially people my age, your age, that purpose has got to be to try to help your own way, your own talents, your own skills to save this country. Otherwise, we're going to end up like many other nation states in the history of the world that rose and fell. And we fall off of our perch, and somebody else like China, who has completely compromised the current occupant of the White House, takes over. And I don't want that.
General, I wish I could disagree with you, but everything you've said is true. And everybody should know that if you're paying attention to the stuff that's just available to everybody, that's true. And your solution is true, too, is the only one that can work. And that's getting active. And it starts locally, because people run for office locally, then they run next for state, and then they run for national. We've got to know who the people are. And most citizens can't name five people that they've elected. And there's probably 70 people that we elected.
Exactly.
We've got to be concerned. And we have to care. And if it's not now, then when? Because the negative side of what's going on in America is growing in strength and power, not fading away. And that's crazy. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with General Michael Flynn. General Flynn, we're getting towards the end of our time. One thing I want to do, how can listeners stay in touch with you, stay plugged in with you? How can they do that?
Yep. Well, they can go to generalflynn.com, generalflynn.com. And I'll unabashedly mention that I have a book out there, myself and Sergeant Boone Cutler talk about great sergeants. It's called The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, 5GW. They can go to generalflynn.com and they can either buy a signed autographed copy, or there's a link there that will take them to Barnes & Noble, where it is a best-selling book, The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, and they can find that at generalflynn.com. And believe me, when they read that book, they'll be blown away and they'll know exactly what to do.
Well, sir, in that case, I strongly recommend that book, because that's what we all have to do. And I hear many times from people, yeah, I want to get active, but I don't know how. I don't know what to do. Well, there's it.
Yeah, generalflynn.com, The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. It's very thoughtful. It's very thought-provoking. We wrote it as a field manual. So it's in the style of a field manual. And at the end of every chapter, there's a little test, right? So we give a test. So it's like, how many books have people bought or at some library or Amazon that gives them a test? We give you a test because we want the information in it to sink in. And it's very proper, but it's written like a field manual. It actually looks like a field manual.
Well, sir, I didn't know about that. So I got to get a copy of that book. But yes, I could not agree more with that. Thank you for that, because that is a key to solving the issues that we're dealing with. Yep. General, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, but thank you for your passion and love for our nation. I consider you my brother. We're fighting the same battle, and God help us, we're going to win this.
Yeah, God bless, Denny, and thank you for having me, and I look forward to coming back on soon.
Yes, sir, we'll do that. God bless you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing April, the month of the military child, with Robert Thomas. Then Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival will review the movie of the month, and General Chris Petty will discuss the battle of the month. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag of military history and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.